Anyone who has been at our church even a few weeks realizes and understands that we live and die with our kids. Anyone who's heard me preach a half a dozen times knows that I have a heart for our young people. I was reliving the year yesterday and recounting the experiences of counseling with our kids. I want to build my message this morning around one of the sweetest little experiences that I've had in recent months that took place last Sunday night after the service. Only one person is involved, and you can rest assured, young man, I will not reveal your identity or even give any idea who you are. Last Sunday night after the service, I went to my office, and there was the long line that awaits me as I go back to the office every Sunday night, Sunday morning too for that matter, and Wednesday night. Usually 20 to 30 people are outside my office waiting to see me after the service. Last Sunday night, a young man, one of our teenage boys, I'd say middle teenage boy, oh, I'm guessing 14, 15 maybe, one of our finest boys was outside my office door. He waited until his time to come, and then I invited him in. I said, "What can I do for you?" and called him by name. His lips began to quiver. His eyes began to moisten. And he asked me the most unusual question any teenager has ever asked me in all of these 27 years almost of preaching. He choked up a few moments and tried to speak and couldn't. And I said, "What is it?" And he said, "Brother Hiles." And I said, "What is it?" And then he said, with tears streaming down his cheeks and his lips quivering, he said, "Brother Hiles, would you spank me?" Believe me, that's the first time a kid has ever asked me for a spanking. But that's what he said. He said, "Would you spank me?" This boy is no boy off the streets. He's one of our finest kids. When I say finest, I mean one of our very finest kids. And I said, "Well, what do you mean?" And he said, "I just want to spank him. I want you to spank me." And I said, "Why? Have you done something wrong?" And he said, "I don't know anything, Dad." But he said, "My dad doesn't spank me and never has. And I want to spank him." Isn't that strange? Will all the teenagers of the church see me after the service this morning, please? I don't think I've ever had anything to shock me. Now, he has a good dad. His dad's a member of our church here. He's a fine dad. But the boy wanted somebody to spank him. And I said, "Son, I'm not going to spank you tonight, but I promise you, I'm going to watch you, keep my eyes on you. If I ever think you need a spanking, I'll do it." Will that boy see me after the service this morning, please? You know, after he left, I sat down at my desk, and I began to wonder, now, why? What is the psychology behind a boy saying, "I want a spanking"? I was reminded of what Sandy Plopper used to say. She was my secretary for 9 years. And Sandy Plopper used to come in on Monday morning, and she said, "Brother Hiles, I can't understand it." And I said, "What is it?" She said, "The meaner you get, the more those folks love you." She grew up a Catholic. that's not the reason, but she said, Brother Hiles, she said, you get mean. She said, you can drag them across the coals and knock them down and hit them and stomp them. And she said, they just get up and say, we love you, Pastor. She said, what is it? The meaner you get, the more they love you. Boy, if that's the case, you sure love me a lot. But I recall from Texas, there came one of my men who was a deacon of the church I pastored in Garland, Texas, the church I pastored right before I came here. And he drove from Texas, and I happened to be preaching in Detroit the next night, and so I decided to drive, and I said, Carl, why don't you drive with me, and we'll go together to Detroit. And so we drove to Detroit that night, and I preached in, actually near Detroit, Taylor City, or Taylor, Michigan. And on the way, he began to cry. He's a big guy, built like a, oh my, on the order I'm built. And I mean, he's really built like a, like Coach Price, that type of a, you know, puny sort of a fella. But a big, strapping kind of guy, and a big barrel-chested fella. And he began to cry. About, I'd say around Kalamazoo, Battle Creek, Michigan. And I said, Carl, what's wrong? And that big old strapping husky fella, muscle-bound fella, looked at me and he said, Brother Hiles, you know why I came from Texas? And I said, why? He said, we drove all the way up here. I knew why I came. I haven't been skinned like you used to skin me in years. He said, I want you tonight, if you would, just let me have it. Like you used to. He said, you used to knock me down, bloody my nose, kick me in the teeth, knee me in the stomach, gouge me, boot me. And then he said, Brother Hiles, I always felt like you loved me. And he said, then it seemed like when you'd get me just about the place where I was about to die, then he said, you'd pick my head up in your arms and put it in your lap and say, I loved you, Carl, and I did it because I loved you. And I've been wondering this week about this matter. Brother Hiles, would you spank me? Would you spank me? And I've been wondering, what is it? What is it? And so I turned to Hebrews chapter 12. And I read once again why we want to be spanked. I want God to spank me. You want God to spank you. There's something in every one of us. There's something in every child, though he doesn't know it, there's something in every child that makes him want to be spanked. I can prove it. How many children want to spank him today? Raise your hand. You see there? That proves the point. But there is something in every child that makes him want to be spanked. There's something in every church member that makes him want a man of God to stand up and say, get right with God. There's something in every one of us that makes us want somebody to scold us and discipline us. There's something in every Christian that makes him more pleased when he comes under the chastening rod of his heavenly Father. Brother Hiles, would you spank me? Why did he say that? I won't tell you why. In the first place, spanking or chastening is an assurance of love. An assurance of love. The Bible says, whom the Lord loveth, he what? Chasteneth. And scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. A fellow wrote me there not long ago, and he said, Dr. Hiles, I came to your church. Why, he said, you stopped right in the middle of the sermon 3 times and said, sit still, young people, listen to what I'm going to say. Why, he said, what you need is more love. I wrote back and I said to him, well, I said, everybody that's so deceived as that, and I said, you wouldn't know love if you saw it. The Bible says, whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. Whom the Lord loveth, he scourgeth. Whom the Lord loveth, he spanketh. And all of us in our subconscious nature, each of us realizes that there's love in scourging. I recall when Becky went off to college. She's now married and has her own baby, but and Tim becomes pastor today, by the way, of the First Baptist Church of Wellica Hill, New Jersey. And anyway, when Becky went off to college, I took her to Marina City, and we had lunch together one day, and over in Chicago, and we talked about the past and so forth. And as I said, Becky, I think it's tomorrow, I said, you leave to go to college. I said, Becky, I've been pretty mean sometimes. Becky wasn't allowed to get in past 11 o'clock at night. In fact, when I sat in my office the night that Tim and Becky were discussing their marriage with me, I said, Tim, what time do you want to set the date for the wedding? He said, 7 o'clock at night. And Becky almost indignantly looked at him and said, we couldn't get home by 11! And Becky wasn't allowed to go on a date alone with boys in a car. But David's 18 now, graduated from high school. He's never been alone in a car with a girl, as far as I know. And the three girls are shaking their head. But anyway, I was sitting across the lunch table from Becky over Marina City in Chicago, and I said, Becky, how are you going to rear your children? And she looked at me, and she began to weep, and she said, just like you've reared me. In fact, the other day, I was looking at her baby, and I said, Becky, you going to be as strict on Trina as I was on you? She said, stricter. She said, you wouldn't let me get in the car alone with a boy. I'm not going to let Trina ever even see a boy. But, and then I said, Becky, what is it? What is it about the way you were reared? And Becky looked at me, and she wept, and her lips trembled, and she said, Dad, every time you said no, I knew you loved me. Every time you said no, I knew you loved me. And there's nothing that quite makes a Christian feel. You know, the natural man would say, well, if God gives you everything you want, never says no, the sun is always shining, the clouds are never low, the rain never falls, the dark days never come, the heartaches never come, the sadnesses never come, the chastening hand of God never comes, that's a sign that God is being good. No, God will spoil you rotten that way. Every time God is chastening me, I knew he loved me. You know, I was thinking this is Father's Day, and I wasn't given the privilege of having a Christian father. But my mother used to pray, dear God, help me to be a father and also a mother to Jack. But I can recall when Mother, I don't know whether you can call this or not, but I can still remember. We lived over on, where are you, Mother? I've lost you. On Montreal Street in Oak Cliff. And when Daddy had the operation, appendicitis operation, and it was Christmas time. I think I was about 3. One day, Dad's home in the hospital, and my father was a drunkard, and he didn't care much about me, and my mother loved me dearly and gave me everything that she had, she gave to me. That's one reason why I take care of her now. I see to it she wears nice clothes, has a nice place to live now because she took care of me then. But anyway, I can recall my mother got on this side of the room one day, and Dad got over here, and Dad said, who you like most, Mother or Daddy? Well, Dad, I knew Dad never did spank me. And I carried whelps on my legs all the time for Mama spanking. Mama spanked with the switch. We had a peach tree in our backyard. Never had a peach on it. Never had a peach on it. And she'd go out, and I can see her going out 39, 36 in the drive. And you stay here! And I wore short breeches. I mean, I wore hot pants. And they were really hot pants, and Mama got through with me. I can see her coming back now with a fiendish look in her eye, and she's peeling the leaves off that limb. She'd get back in, and she'd stretch and again and again and jump and again and again. You gonna do any more? No. Again and again and again. And Mother used to, after it's all over, she used to sit down and say, son, I did that because I loved you. And I can recall thinking, I wish she didn't love me that much. I did it because I loved you. Now, I'm 45 years of age. It's been 42 years since I went to Dad instead of Mother because I thought he loved me most. I know better now. I thank God for every switch that hit these legs of mine. I thank God for every limb on that peach tree. In those days, I wanted to cut it down. But I thank God for every limb on the peach tree. I thank God for every time she said, I'm going to make something out of you if it's the last thing I do. It'll be the last thing she does. But I'll do it. Are you sorry? No, I'm sorry. Okay, I'll do it again. She'll get sorrier. And I'd get sorrier. And I thank God for everyone. I thank God that I got to grow up in an old-fashioned mother's knees that spanked me. I didn't have to go and say, would you spank me? My mama spanked me. I want the girl back yonder listening to me that's sitting back here the end of the aisle, right beside you, Mrs. Newman. I want her to listen to me too. I want everybody to hear what I've got to say now. And I thank God for it. I thank God as I look back over my life. God spanked me, I was thinking a while ago. When I first came to Hammond, I didn't want to stay. I wanted to leave. By the way, a lot of folks didn't want me to stay either. And one day, somebody came to me and said, Brother Hiles, look what I found. And I said, what is it? And they said, it's a petition. Up at the top, it had a rebel, go home. And I think they had me in mind. And they had a petition out sign here if you want Pastor Hiles to go back to Texas. I signed it. You know why? Because I wanted to go back. And I decided that I would. And I went through the valley, and we had some battles. And the Lord had to spank me. And something happened to me physically back in those days. It'll be there all my life. I began to see, from my eyes, I began to see some little black specks, and they wouldn't go away. And I'd had enough dealing with medical people. Girls in the front row, sit up now and listen to me. And I'd had enough dealing with medical people until I knew that sometimes that's a sign of cancer of the brain. And I just knew I had cancer of the brain. I made out my will and checked my insurance policies and so forth and just knew I was going to die. But they started getting more. I had about 20 little flecks up here. One looks like about like a fly, and it was down here. It had a little tail on it. And a lot of little green men run around too, and I've been followed. So I went over to Dr. Friedman here over in Indianapolis, the eye doctor. And I knew when he walked back in, he'd say, well, he'd said, like the fellow, pastor went to the door and said, Widow Brown. She said, no, I'm not Widow Brown. He said, you want to bet? And that's about the way I felt about it. I felt like that it was all over. And I thought I had cancer. And he said, you'll have to live with that the rest of your life. And the Lord gave me, I guess, about 20 little spots in front of my eyes. And I have them. And I look at them so often and say, thank God for every one of them. Thank God for every one of them. I wouldn't have been here. They were God's little slap on the wrist. They were God's little reminder that I want you where I put you. I sent you to Hammond. The going gets rough, you stay in the battle. The going gets rough, don't you run. Anybody can run back to Texas. Stay here where I put you. And I look at them now. And I see them all the time. But I don't often stop and think about them. I look at him. And every time I stop to think about him, I thank God. Oh, thank God he spanked me. Thank God he slapped my wrist. Thank God. Why? Why? Because he loves me. That's why. And young people, the next time your mother or your dad says, go to your room, and bend over, and they lash across that certain place on your anatomy built for spankings, and you think they don't love you, and you wish that they didn't love. I want to tell you something. I had a boy lived across the street from me when I was a kid. Mother, we lived on Garza Street in that rock house. No, across from the rock house. We lived in an apartment, that big white house across the street. And one day, my sister came in and had a dime. Her name's 8 years older than I am, and she had a dime. And so Dad said, could I borrow your dime? I need a dime. And I thought he meant it. And so I went and got the dime out of her purse and gave it to Dad. I thought he meant it. But this boy across the street from me, his dad spanked him all the time. My dad never had spanked me. That kid got more spankings than his dad anybody you ever saw in your life. And I said, my dad never spanked me. And that night I took that dime out of my sister's purse and took it to Dad. And Dad went outside. He got a big board. He brought it in and he said, you'll never steal out of your sister's purse again. He lashed me with that thing. He spanked me. He hit me across the room, across everything else too. But he hit me. He let me have it. And I can recall the next morning I got up. I went over to my buddy across the street. I said, I got one. He said, you got a what? I said, I got a spanking. Never was so proud of anything in my life. My dad, it's the only time my dad ever spanked me. I think I know what the boy meant when he said, for the house, would you spank me? This morning, Are you underneath the lash of God's whip? This morning, have you felt the sting of God's chastening hand? Did the car swerve in the highway? Was there the flashing of steel? And was there the smell of rubber? And did you all of a sudden find yourself with a body that was broken? Or did the doctor come and say, you have a disease that's incurable? Or did you lose your job? Or did the son go astray? Or did the daughter get seriously sick? Or did the son get seriously sick? And all of a sudden you looked up and you said, dear God, what's it all for? I tell you what you can do. Just feel real love. God, whom he loveth, he chasteneth. Whom he loveth, he chasteneth. And that's a sign of the love of God. I thank God for it. You know, today, this morning, all across this country, in rest homes, there are old people decaying and rotting, forgotten by their children, never receive a card, never receive a visit, never receive a letter, never receive a phone call. They're just decaying, forgotten. You know who they are? People that didn't spank their kids when they were little. There's something about spanking and disciplining and chastening that draws a child and a parent together. It's just true. It's just there. Christian Life magazine wrote the letter and said, Dr. Hiles, would you represent fundamentalists in a debate? We'd like to have a debate. We'd like to have a fundamentalist and a liberal and a middle-of-the-roader. That's called pussyfooter where I came from. I used to say to David when he was 4 or 5 years old, Dave, what you going to be when you grow up? A preacher! A preacher! I said, you're going to be an old-fashioned preacher, fearless man of God, or a pussyfooter? He said, a pussyfooter. And I'll kill him if he is. So if they chose me to represent the fundamentalist and a liberal preacher represent the liberals, Professor Garrett Seminary over here in Chicago, they chose one that was ashamed to be called a fundamentalist, but did more be called a liberal, sort of a not in, not out, not off, not on, not hot, not cold, north, not south, not north, sort of a gray kind. And she was a lady. And we were having a debate. And this real scholarly professor at Garrett Seminary, he said, Dr. Hiles, why do you accept the Bible? I said, because I'm scared not to. And he said, just who are you scared of? I said, my mama. He said, what? I said, mama would whale fire to me if I didn't preach the Bible. You know, that's the truth. Now, I'm not scared of her. I'll tell you what, there's still a holy fear. If my mother went out and got a limb today and started to pee, now I'm twice as big as she is, then I could take her arm, break it like that. I could spank her. But if I were all of a sudden, if my mama got up right now and had a peace-free limb, I'd run. Why? I'll tell you why. Because I thank God for the love that made her say no. You parents that think your children, you love your children because you don't discipline them. The Bible says that if a person does not discipline and spank his child, he hates him. The Bible says that. Spare the rod and spoil the child. He that spareth the rod hateth the child. But there's another thing. When he said, Brother Hiles, would you spank me? There's another thing that I thought, why? What is the psychology behind it? The second thing, you know that chastening gives assurance of sonship. The Bible says he scourgeth every son. He scourgeth every son. Did you know if I could get by without going to church, without God spanking me, I'd be worried? If you lay out of church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, or either for that matter, for a very long period of time, and you don't get a spanking, I'd get worried about it. If you can get by without giving God the tithes and offerings, you can get by with robbing God, and God doesn't spank you, then you won't have the assurance you ought to have. Every time that I feel those switches, it's called switches. Mama keep one on the dresser all the time. Huh? Did you ever see the old razor straps they used to use? How many ever got hit with a razor strap? I'd rather have cancer of the blood. And Dad had a razor strap, never used it. But Mom had a switch and she'd keep it up on the dresser or on the cedar chest all the time. But every time I'd feel that little switch against my little bare legs, I could say, that's my mama, all right. There's an assurance about it. Oh, listen to me. God spanks his children. I look back over my life and I can recall the times when God had to spank me. But there was a sweet, as I lay there in the chastening rod of God, there was a sweet assurance that he's my father and he cares for me and he loves me. And that's what the fellow wanted when he said, would you spank me with a house? He wanted to feel the love that comes from being chastened. He wanted to feel the assurance and security that comes from being chastened. There's something else he wanted. He wanted Christian growth. The Bible says over in Hebrews, it says, now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth a peaceable fruit of righteousness. I thought about that so often. I'm glad that peach tree had some fruit on it. It never yielded any peaches, but the Bible says the peaceable fruit of righteousness. So it was did yield some fruit. And it yielded fruit in the life of her son. But it says, what it says is this, that the chastening, it'll make something out of you. Mrs. Gifford, I recall the day that your son David, where's Dave? Dave Gifford was ordained to be a deacon at an ordination service. And I think we had it here in the altar. And Deacon Gifford, one of Dave's father, was about to lay hands on him. And we were somewhere, I forget where we were talking about it. And I said, now, I know it's a wonderful hour in the life of you. And by the way, Deacon Gifford's in heaven today. And one of our dear, sweet, fine men. And I said, Mr. Gifford, I know it's a big day for you. I said, boys, I said, I know it's a big day for you. He said, why? I said, because you're going to get to lay hands on your son. He looked at Dave and looked at me and he said, well, I've done that before. He said, I've laid hands on him a lot of times. And Dave said, you better know what he has. A lot of times. And I went to bed that night, and I thought so many times, oh, Dave, you thank God for that kind of a heritage. For a dad who would lay hands on you. But I thought many times, that's one reason why he got to lay hands on him as a deacon. If you don't lay your hands on them when they're 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and 7, then you won't have the joy of laying hands on them someday in a holy service of dedication of them to be a deacon in a great church like the First Baptist Church in Hammond. I can recall many times I've been in the valley in my life, and I can recall looking up and I'd say, dear God, this is so far down in the valley. And the clouds are so thick and it's so dark. But I can honestly say, looking back over my life, I thank God for every tear I've shed and every lonely hour I've spent. And as I look back over it, now then, that which used to look like valleys look like peaks, and those which used to look like peaks look like valleys. Why? Because the dear Lord was chastening me, giving me assurance of sonship, assurance of his love, and helping me to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. My mother and I used to live alone, and we used to eat ice cream a lot. Mama, do you recall used to deliver at the drugstore, would order 2 pints of ice cream? We did a whole pint of ice cream at one time. Isn't that a sight? If I even look at ice cream, I gain 2 pounds now. But I can recall a whole pint of ice cream. And we didn't have any spoons, many. And we'd take the lid off the top and fold the lid up 2 times and use the lid for a spoon. And we'd sit outside and eat ice cream. Now, I thought that Mama was being good to me then. But did you know, I never think about the ice cream anymore. I hadn't thought about it in years. I think about the switch upon the chest of drawers and thank God for it. Now then, that's why when he said, would you spank me? He wanted assurance. He wanted to love. He wanted to grow. He wanted to feel the security of a dad who would spank him. The Hiles, would you spank me? But now let me say this. I'd still rather not be spanked. And the Bible tells us what we can do to keep from getting spanked. It says, wherefore lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees. You ever get spanked like I got spanked? You lift up the hands which hang down, and the feeble knees, I must say, you get up and do what I said to. The Lord said, if you'll do what I said, lift up your feeble hands and lift up the knees that hang down. If you'll get up and get busy. He said, I won't have to spank you. And then he goes on to say, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. The dear Lord says, walk straight. God says, if you'll get busy for me and walk a straight path. I got a letter the other day from a little cottage girl, one of our girls. She said, Brother Hiles, I need some money. And I sent her, I think, $200. I think that's what I sent her to help her. She said, I can't take my exams until I get some money to pay for my bill. And I sent her, I know it's a sizable sum of money. And I heard last night that she wasn't living right, living in sin. I picked up the telephone, called long distance, couldn't get her, but I'm going to get her. And when I get her, she's not going to feel good for a long time. You know why? I'm going to spank her. You say, you mean you're going to turn over your knee and spank her? No, sir. I'm going to say, send my money back. You say, well, how? That's mean. No, it's not mean to chasten. It's mean when, you know who the mean preachers are? The mean preachers are those that let you talk while the sermon's going on. You wouldn't get what the pastor's trying to preach. That's the mean preacher. You know who the loving preacher is? One that stops and says, sit still while I'm preaching. You need this. I've got something for you. That's the loving preacher. You know who the mean preacher is? It's that preacher stands up behind some pulpit dressed like a woman this morning. By the way, that's appropriate for most of them. Dressed like a woman this morning, compromising and soft soaping, ear tickling, back scratching, nickel nipping, penny pinching, pink tea and lemonade kind of preacher that lets his young folks live like the devil. Never says a word about mini skirts. Never says a word about long shaggy hair. Never says a word about the hippie movement. Never fights communism. Never fights the dirty narcotics traffic. Never fights the liquor traffic. Never fights the indecency going on in our world. And lets his kids go to the devil. That's the fellow who has not love. He knows nothing about love. Fellow who has the love is the one who with a heart that's broken and yet with a voice that's sure and conviction that are firm stands up and says, flee youthful lust, run from the evil one. He fights sin and warns you about the wrath of God and warns you about the judgment of God and begs you not to go into sin. That's the kind of parent that loves you. You know, or the kind of preacher. You know who the kind of parent that loves you? The one that doesn't love is the one that says, well, I trust my daughter. Oh, brother. I trust my son. If you knew what I do, you wouldn't trust him. I mean, about them. Never a spanking. Never a scolding. I'm not saying that you ought to go to breakfast every morning, spank every kid before each breakfast, just in case. And I'll tell you what. I haven't spanked David in 8 years. You don't have to spank them when they get over 8 very much if you spank them enough before they're 8. No, I'm simply saying that that parent, you look up, and you kids, you look up, and I can still recall thinking I'd die. I couldn't get another breath. You remember that? Your face had turned purple? And my dear, sweet, precious mother, look at me and it's like Joe Boyd said his dad. Joe Boyd said when he got a teenager, he said he could, next time his dad spanked him, he's going to whip him. Joe weighed 235. His dad was about 150. And Joe was an All-American football player. And his dad grabbed him and started to spank him. And Joe just hauled off and slapped his dad. But his dad was too big a man, too much a man, even though he weighed about half as much. And the dad got on top of Joe. And Joe's mama said, Dad, don't kill him, don't kill him, don't kill him. And his dad looked up and said, I'm trying to kill him, but he won't die. And you say, I wish my mama loved me enough. I wish my mother loved me enough to give me all that the neighbor's kids get. But that's not the mother who loves. The mother who loves is the one who goes out and gets the old pizza tree limb and skins it of the leaves, comes back in and says, my boy's going to mount to something. If I've got to kill him, he's going to mount to something. She slips across the legs, and the legs begin to hurt, or she turns your little posterior up and beats the fire out of it. You say, Brother House? Well, a lady came here long ago. She said, Pastor, she said, I'm going to call the police if you don't. And I said, why? She said, because she said a little kid across the street came to play at my house, and I saw his legs had stripes on them. His dad put stripes on his legs. I said, wonderful. Wonderful. We ought to call the police for these parents that won't spank, not the one that spanked too much. The Bible said that the blueness of the wound cleanses away sin. Yeah, it does. That's the one who loves. That's the one who loves. We hear a lot about peace and love today. They don't know anything about peace and love, these Jesus freaks. They don't know anything about true love and true peace. Love chastens. Love scolds. Love spanks. Love scourges. You'll check the Bible for scourging, for spanking in the Bible. You know the word for chastening? The Bible, it has a lot to do with the same word that about the scourging of Jesus. They took the cat of nine tails and hit it on his back. The Bible says it was all ripped. I'm not suggesting you rip your child's back. I am suggesting that a certain little handprint won't hurt occasionally. I'll never forget. Dave's on the front row here. I'll never forget the first time I spanked him and I saw the marks on his body. He must have been three, I guess. I went to his room and I spanked him. I didn't mean to spank him as hard as I did. But after I spanked him, I went back in and he was like that, even in his sleep, like that. And I looked on his little legs, near his hips, and my handprint was there. And I was shocked. And I got down beside my knees on the bed, on my knees beside the bed. And I said, dear God, I didn't mean to hit him that hard. But it's Bible. Does it hurt you like that when you spank me? Well, I want him to be something. I want him to be something. For the highest. Would you spank me? And I closed the door. And I sat at my desk. I looked up to my Father. And I said, dear Heavenly Father, would you spank me? Would you spank me? This morning, is your life counting for God? Is He going to have to spank you? Is He going to have to take out the rod? Why don't you give your heart to Him? Why don't you serve Him? Why don't you be faithful to Him? And sometime during the day, why don't you just go alone and say, dear Heavenly Father, Happy Father's Day.